Excellent.
Oh, yes, he is.
And worthy to be praised.
Yes.
Amen. 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 We thank the good Lord for the privilege of praise.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. You know, you can have some profound thoughts when you think about the goodness of the Lord.
Right. Oh, yes.
And we need to meditate on the goodness of the Lord. Amen.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Amen. Because he is worthy.
Amen.
Amen. Without any further delay, hopefully you have a copy of our lesson for today. If you do not, raise your hand. It would be just a sheet like this in case anyone came in that did not get one. And today we have a math lesson from the Lord.
Amen.
One with God is a majority, no matter how many come against you. That's one part of the math lesson.
Amen.
Amen. And God has that unusual math, as you know, how there can be three persons. Somebody said, well, how can it be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? That's three. I said, no, because God multiplies. One times one times one is one. Amen. So you don't understand. God doesn't add. He multiplies. Amen. Amen. So God has a little different kind of math than what we deal with. Amen. Amen. So if you have the lesson there, we're going to take a look now just briefly in the Old Testament at a passage from the book of Genesis in chapter number 22. Okay, if everybody has your copy, I think you do. I didn't think I saw any hands. I think we're all ready to move forward.
Yes.
Amen. In Genesis 22, let us stand for the reading of the word. Genesis 22, we're going to start in at verse 6. Of course, there are some other verses, but we just want you to get the gist of this passage. Genesis 22, and I'm reading the King James translation. Your printed text on the handout is King James also. And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it up on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar up on the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and thy seed shall all, and in thy seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Amen. We've read a selected passage from Genesis 22 from the Old Testament, and now a New Testament passage in the book of Romans, the final verses in chapter 8, starting at verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Let us have a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we praise you, we bless you, we thank you, Father, for your goodness, your mercy, and your tender kindness toward us, Lord. We thank you, Father, for every mode of grace that you continue to bless us with, Father. We see your grace on every side, Father. Even when the enemy comes rushing in like a flood, you have a standard raised up against him to stop the process, Father, and keep us moving forward in your grace. And so, Lord God, bless our ears today. You said that if we have ears to hear and a heart to understand, that you could bless us and fill us with more faith. And Father, we ask now, prepare our hearts, our minds, and our ears, and our understanding, that we might grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Bless your word as it goes forth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So we just want to use a mathematical equation here today to discuss this. That's why I said this is a math lesson from the Lord here.
All right.
Today, love over sin equals victory.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Love over sin. Get that on your chalkboards there. Yes. Love over sin equals victory. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Now, I have another message online. I just was checking back because I thought this might be a duplicate title. And I found out that the other one is just slightly different. Amen. It says love over evil equals victory.
All right.
And you'll find that online at teachingbible.net in case you want to hear the other message. It was from the Gospel of St. Mark in the 14th chapter.
All right.
And sometimes I have to do that because I think so far I've been blessed that when God gives me a title for a message, it never overlaps anything that I preached before, and I don't know how that happens. And I go back and check. I have a couple of them that are duplicates that were intentional, but because sometimes I preach a series of things on one topic. But some of them, I'm amazed how that happens because I don't plan it, and it just works out that way. And so it's always a blessing. But I looked at this one, I said, wow, here's one that's close, and it was from Mark chapter 14. But what we want you to see here today, as we come to the conclusion of this 8th chapter in the book of Romans, this is one of my very favorite chapters. Here I go again, Brother Douglas, pardon me, in all of the Bible, because it starts off speaking about our no condemnation status. Romans 8 and 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And it begins there, because you know the first part of Romans puts you on the edge sometimes.
Yes, it does.
When you start reading about the fallenness of man and how twisted culture can be.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when we look around, it's easy for us to see the culture is pretty twisted.
Yes, it is.
You know, somebody mentioned this morning about some of the conflicts going on in the news concerning transgender issues and things of that sort. We see same-sex marriage issues. We see all kinds of things that let us know that the culture is moving on just as it was in the days of Noah. And somebody said something about so many things. We're not going to occupy much of your time this morning talking about depravity and fallenness. We can see it everywhere. Yeah. Murder and violence and all that. And it seems to be the culture is predisposed with all that. We love some CSI and some of these shows all about cold cases. And we look at all that and we're just morbid and sometimes, but somehow it just gets your attention and you find yourself stuck on it sometimes, you know, watching that because there's so much of that in the culture. But yet God has sent his son. Into the world in order to free us from that old way of thinking and old way of life. And there's always been a split in the way man thinks all the way from the very beginning, just as you had from Cain and Abel. They had different ideas about worship all the way from the beginning. The first sons that are mentioned of Adam and Eve in the Bible. And I say they're mentioned because I don't know if they had others or not, but those were the first ones mentioned. Amen. And so we look and we see that all the time. That's just how we have to live. We have to see the world that way, that there is the world's way and then there is the Lord's way. And so there's always that difference. And it's not something that we can avoid because we live in it. We have to be able to cope and move forward in spite of it.
Yes, we do.
Amen. That's the reason why we have Psalms like the one in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight. Light is in the law of the Lord. So the word is what puts the division between right and wrong.
Yes.
We delight in the law of the Lord or the
Amen.
Word of God.
Amen.
You know, we make our stay there and we meditate there day and night.
Yes, we do.
In order to keep our minds on that side where God wants it to be.
Yes.
And not to be overtaken and encumbered by the world
Amen.
And the flesh. That works against us. And so what we see here as we approach this end of Romans, it tells us that if we sow to the Spirit, it says earlier in chapter 8, in other words, begin to do those things that are set up by God to be there to bless you, to sanctify you, to set you apart. In other words, to make you a person of God who is approaching Christ's likeness. In other words, how do we get more like Jesus, who is the model
Amen.
That God sent? In fact, he is God the Son who took on the same body of flesh to be tantalized by the same things that we just discussed.
Yes.
The stuff that the world is doing versus God's program and his plan.
Yes.
You see, and Jesus is the personification of God. He is
yes.
God in man.
Yes.
And he's here to do the walk that man could have done had man have not sinned.
Amen.
But since man sinned, now we got this other situation with everything being jacked up and now we have to deal with it.
Right.
You see. And so we're learning though, but the good thing is that those who are in Christ
uh-huh.
and that's the reason God sent him are at a no condemnation status. So that's the best news I ever heard. When I first heard it, it was too good.
Yes.
I said, well, that couldn't be about me. Because I knew what kind of person I was.
Yes.
And it was hard for me to accept that God loves you just like you are. You will not get better without him.
That's right.
He can fix you wherever you are, no matter what you're involved with. And he can make you even better than you've ever been.
Yes,
he can forgive you for any stuff you did that was not right.
Amen.
And he wants you to come right now
yes.
by faith.
Yes.
He doesn't want you to wait one more second.
Amen.
You see? And so when I finally got that, it was hard for me to hear that because I'm thinking, you know, I'm not the kind of person that needs to be, you know, that God can use. And the fact is, God can use anyone.
Yes, he can.
No matter where you are, you start from where you are and God will move you where he wants you to be
Amen.
Over a period of time.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
But he accepts you right now. And so we see here as we come to the middle of Romans, it starts to talk about how the Spirit is given to you. The Holy Spirit is God also.
Yes.
And this is that one times one thing we were talking about. God gave his Son, but he also gave his Spirit for those who believe in his Son.
Yes.
You trust in the Son, God equips everyone who trusts him with the Spirit. That's
Amen.
God himself that moves in, takes up residence in you.
Amen.
And he is there to finish the good work that God started.
Yes, he is.
Simply put, if we could talk a lot about the Spirit and we'll never learn the depths of the Spirit because the Spirit is God.
Yes.
And how can that be that God can just take up a residence in me? You know, and it's a wonderful thing. The truth of it is he does. If you trust his Son, Automatically, he baptizes you in with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. He leads you and guides you to all truth.
Amen.
Now, this is, of course, New Testament theology, if you want to call it that, for lack of a better term. In other words, it's a more mature understanding of how God works with people.
Yes, it is.
God has always worked with people all the way back from the Garden of Eden. And part of our study said that in Genesis 6, for example, we looked at, God says, my Spirit will not always strive with man. God has been striving with man ever since the human family was contaminated with sin.
Amen.
You know, there's been a struggle, and it's God against the flesh, God against the devil, God against the world. But he's doing that with people.
Yes, he is.
Because he loves people. The reason he made Adam was he loved him.
Amen.
I made everything first to make sure that everything was here perfect for you to be able to do and be a king.
Yeah.
And I set you in dominion and authority over all that I made. Who has ever done that for you? You know, our wives get excited when we buy them a big old diamond ring. One little thing. You know, or a necklace or something. One little item. But God said, here, I'm giving you the entire world. The earth is mine. I give it to you, Adam, to show you his love. Think about what kind of a present he had. And then he said it's not good for him to be alone. Gave him a wife.
Yes, he did.
What a blessing. He knew what
Amen.
He needed.
Amen.
It's not good for you not to have a wife. So he gave him a wife. Amen. And put him in the world. And so we see God was showing his love.
Yes.
It was not just something he said.
Yes.
It was something
Amen.
He did. He showed, I love you this much. It gave all that responsibility to Adam, and it wasn't really like a big hard thing because it was just beautiful.
Yes.
No contamination, no broken fellowship between me and you.
Yes.
I'm here with you every day. I show up.
My Lord.
So you can visually see me.
Yes.
Somehow he manifested himself to Adam.
Yes.
Before sin, and then after sin entered, Adam had to go grab something to cover himself, and God separated because of the sin. So we know all the story about the fall of man.
Yes.
But as we see, God separated a people for his own possession by the time we get into Genesis chapter 12, and the Spirit of God is continuing to strive with man even up until today.
Yes.
But let's cut to the chase here so we can get to our equation. So much to say about this, and so the midweek service promises to be really a blessing.
All
if
right.
I put the commercial in right now. Amen. So as we look at Genesis 22, we have the patriarch Abraham. He is one that God sanctified. In other words, he called him out from among his own people. He told him in chapter 12 in Genesis, get thee out of thy father's house, come away from your kindred, come into a land that I will show thee, and I'll bless thee and make thy name great. You shall be a blessing. This is just a summary of what we call the Abrahamic covenant.
Right.
God called him out, said, I'm going to separate you from all the people in the world to be a special people.
Amen.
In your seed, I'm going to bless the whole world. That's what his promise was.
Amen.
But Abraham didn't have any seed. And so this was at the age of 75, we find in Genesis 12.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time we get to this text now, Abraham is over 100.
Yes, he is.
So 25 years have elapsed. The covenant promise had been made. He had now had a son whose name was Isaac. And Isaac is now a teenager by the time we get to this text.
Yes.
So Abraham is not only over 100, he's probably about 115 or so, just to guess.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaac is a strapping young man about, you know, in his teens. So imagine the old man now walking with the young man, and this is the one that God has promised when he gave Isaac. Now, of course, we know about Ishmael. We won't tell all that story. Some of you have to, you've come again on the, for later, but we're trying to move forward with this story. So here it is, the old man, aged old Abraham, who has trusted God now from the age of 75 to about at least 115 or so, roughly, just to put some rough numbers on it.
Yes.
And they're walking to a place where God has told Abraham, take your son, that one I gave you, that I promised you, and offer him as a burnt offering. That means a sacrifice. You're going to slash his throat, lay him on some wood, and then when it's all done, light a fire and burn it up and offer it to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So Abraham doesn't know how this is going. He's going, well, wait a minute now. You know, I'm sure he's thinking all kinds of things. What would you think if it was your son? Let me just put it in your mind that way. You'd be thinking, boy, this is an unusual command from God. But he has walked with God for so long now that he trusts God, everything he says.
Yes,
he knows that God has loved him, has blessed him, has multiplied his wealth.
Yes.
God has built him up and made him a great man in the world.
Amen.
He has not only given him Ishmael, who was not the son of promise, but he has kept his promise now and given him this son, Isaac, of his wife, Sarah. And now he tells him to take your son, your only son, who you love, as it says there in the text, and offer him in a place that I'll show you. The place was called Mount Moriah. Okay? And just so you know, Mount Moriah eventually was known as Mount Calvary. So God had Abraham take his son Isaac to the same place that we would call Mount Calvary after 42 generations had elapsed.
Amen.
And this is just some stuff that's buried in. We can show you where that is later. But notice this now. Abraham, it says here in verse 6 of Genesis 22, took the wood of the burnt offering and says he laid it upon Isaac, his son. I can't look at that without seeing a picture of the cross.
Yes.
God the Father laid the wood upon his son.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see his son carrying the wood.
Yes.
Going up to the mountain.
Yes.
The place where God had set for this to happen. It says right there, Abraham took the wood, see that, and for the burnt offering and laid it up on his son Isaac. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. He's got everything required for worship, to sacrifice to God. And they went, both of them together. And Isaac spake unto his father, and to Abraham, his father, and said, Father. He said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb? He said, normally when we do this, we're carrying a lamb.
Right, right.
And the lamb is going to be laid on the wood. The lamb is going to be slashed in his throat and his blood's going to be shed. And then he's going to be sacrificed on the altar. Yes. I see everything but the lamb.
Right.
Where is the lamb? What a question. Imagine the old man now. He might be thinking, boy, if it was me, I might have been thinking, what an old man that flipped. No lamb. You know, what is he going through? What kind of thing is he going through? And keep in mind now, look at the age difference. 15 versus 115.
Yeah.
He could probably have easily overpowered his dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But he doesn't. What does it say? The next verse is astonishing when you read it. And after you ask him, where is that lamb? Well, I see the wood, I see the fire. Isaac is paying attention, right? And then he says here, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself.
Yes.
A lamb. Think about that one.
Yeah.
I can't read that without thinking about John 1:29.
Yeah.
John 1:29, John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Speaking of Jesus, who was coming to his baptism. He says, God will provide himself a lamb.
That's right.
You see that?
Amen.
Well, I can't read that without seeing Jesus.
Amen.
For a burnt offering. And then it says here, and they both went together. Both of them went together. So there was some agreement. We understand God said this. It has to be all right.
That's right.
Even though I could overpower you and go against you because I'm younger than you and I can probably get away, I'm not going to let you do me like that. But there was a willingness in his heart.
Yes, it was.
To obey God. Now, I want to ask the question here today, and I know we all would have to say no. I don't want to see a show of hands or anything. If God gives you something hard to do or that seems like it's impossible, do you have faith to say, I'll walk with you, God, no matter what it is? Even though I don't understand it, it don't make much sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, do I have to figure it out? You know, we have to have that kind of faith. Abraham had developed that kind of faith with God by this time. Not only that, but he had taught Isaac, his young son, believe God no matter what he says. God has never failed us. He never let us down. And they both go here in agreement.
Amen.
On one accord. And now notice the next verse, very challenging. It says, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar, upon the wood. See that? So you got a picture of the son stretched out and bound to the wood. And the father is doing it. It's being done by his own father.
Yes.
And the angel of the Lord. Then notice verse 10. We can't skip that. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He catches him right in the midst of the act. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. Neither do thou any harm unto him. Don't do anything to him. See that? For I know that thou fearest God. So he had enough reverence for God to do anything God said, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now this is, he's called here the only son. Can't overlook that, because did Abraham have any other sons?
Mm-hmm.
He did, didn't he? But this is your only son. Why? Because this is the only one I promised you that I would give you through your own wife, through Sarah. So therefore, he is the only begotten son in that sense. The only one came from your wife that I told you I was going to give you. The other ones you had, I had nothing to do with that. See what I'm saying? So God calls him his only son. You see that?
Yes.
Now, and so what we want you to see here is that we know how the story goes. And I just want to summarize this. Most of you are familiar that God said, told him, look over there. You'll see a ram who's caught in the thicket by the horns. Go and get him and offer him instead of your son.
Yes.
So what did God do? He provided a substitute.
Yes, he did.
For Abraham's son.
Amen.
I'm going to give you, that's why we say God always has what? A ram in the bush.
Ram in the bush.
He's got a way to cover you when you do what he says. I got another way that I'm going to fix it up. It's going to come from somewhere you don't have any idea.
Thank you, Lord.
See, God is able to come from somewhere else where you don't even know and provide what you need if you do what he says.
Amen.
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 And so here it is. Now we see Abraham goes there and he calls the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide.
Yes.
See? And so he did not have to sacrifice his son. Now you say, what does that have to do with Romans? And we're going to see it right here. Let's look at the New Testament here. Here in Romans 8:31, the Apostle Paul concluding his thought. Last week, if you were not here, just a brief review, we discussed what is known as the golden chain, has been called by theologians. I was not aware that there was so much controversy about that. I looked around at some of the other things people teach, and some people try to say there is no golden chain. I don't know how they can say it, reading what the Word says. The Word says, those whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And those whom he predestined, them he also called. And them he called, he also justified. And them he justified, he also glorified. So God said that. To me, that's cut and dry. Just like Abraham saying, take your son. God telling Abraham, take your son and offer him on the altar. Okay, God, I'm on my way.
Mm-hmm.
He just got busy when God gave him something to do.
Amen.
I'm not going to question it.
Yes.
I'm not going to find fault with it.
Yes.
I'm just going to get busy.
Amen.
And get it done.
Amen.
See, that's the way we ought to be. If we could spontaneously respond to what God says to us,
Then
we would find ourselves getting way ahead from where we are.
Amen.
If we could just move on his command.
That's true.
You know, because God is able to keep his word. He's going to keep his word. There's nothing on earth or in the heavens or anywhere that can stop him from keeping his word.
Amen.
So if he gives us something to do, we have to be spontaneously obedient.
Yes.
And so here we see Paul saying, as he continues to write, what shall we say to these things? He says, if God be for us, then the question is, who can be against us?
No.
Now, who can overpower God?
No one.
Who is greater than God?
No one.
See, not a soul anywhere. Not no one in the heavens, not Satan, not all the demons, not everything all put together, the world, the flesh, not all the gold in Fort Knox.
All right.
We can start naming stuff. None of it is greater than God.
Amen.
Because God is the creator.
Amen.
He made all things.
Yes, he is.
And he holds it all together.
Amen.
He is going to be the one that's glorified when it's all done.
Amen.
So no one is greater than God.
No
and Paul, he was even against God at one time, as we discussed earlier. And now Paul is the most vocal advocate of the gospel of anyone that there's ever been. And God went on to use him to write half of the New Testament.
Yes, he did.
First, he hated the church. Remember that? We talked about that. And so now here it is in his letter to the Romans. What shall we say to these things? How do we sum up our thoughts after knowing that we have no condemnation because God has given his son? If we trust in him, he fills us with the Holy Spirit. He will lead us and guide us to all truth. He will never leave us or forsake us. He will manifest his good word in our lives as we go about doing his will.
Amen.
He will protect us from danger seen and unseen.
Lord.
He has done all of this and secured for you a future in heaven and seated you in heavenly places in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So after all that we would call that the security of God's golden chain. He has given you a secure understanding of who you are in Jesus Christ. That's for your security, because he wants you to never ever doubt what I'm doing for you.
Never.
I've done it. It's in the word. It's written down. It belongs to you if you believe in my son.
Amen.
So the security of God's golden chain is released to those who are predestined, called, justified, and glorified, and also displays the eternal, indestructible power of God's love. That's not any old love, that's agape love.
Oh, yes.
For the ones who trust in Jesus Christ, His Son.
Amen.
God wants you to know that. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things write I unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life."
Yes.
God doesn't want you wondering, "Well, you know, I don't know if God is going to accept me. Mm-hmm. I haven't been the best I can be." I hear people saying this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you need to understand the gospel.
That's right.
Amen.
God loves you, gave His Son for you.
Yes, He did.
If you trust His Son, now the question is, and the key always is, do you trust Christ?
Amen.
Do you lean entirely up on Him?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you believe only in Him?
Amen.
Have all other possible things been cast out of your mind, and you know for sure that nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away my sins?
That's right. Amen.
Are you sure of that? Have you been to Calvary?
Oh, yes.
Do you understand that He is Lord?
Yes.
No one else. There's no question, no doubt in your mind. You don't think Buddha or anybody else has anything for you, because you understand that there is but one God.
One God.
One mediator between God and men.
Yes.
The man Christ Jesus. I wouldn't want to, last thing I would want to do as a minister is give somebody a false hope of your salvation.
Yes. Right.
That's why I asked the question, do you trust Christ entirely?
Oh, yes. My Lord.
Do you know that there is no one else anywhere that I trust and believe in but Jesus?
Amen.
I know He is Lord.
Amen. Yes, He is.
You know, I'm not looking to see, is there something else? Might they have a little something over here for me? Or might this or that be something I might want to check out? No.
No.
If you're not like that, don't have security, because it's not going to help you. Because Jesus said there's one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The last thing I would want to do is give somebody a false hope that you're saved, or you think Jesus is a part of what you're doing spiritually.
Yeah.
And over here, I can do this. No, He will take no allegiance with anyone else.
Right.
You must be devoted to Him entirely. You must understand there is nothing else anywhere in the heavens or the earth by which anyone can be saved anywhere. Not just you. There isn't anything anyone else can do anywhere to be saved. That's what He said. Either we believe Him or we don't. We can't mix Him into a big batch with a bunch of gods and, oh, you might believe this, you might believe. If you like that, you are not saved. I'm going to tell you now.
Amen.
Because God said that if you trust in My Son and Him only, you lean on Him, that He is able to secure you in God's good blessings.
Yes.
See, so I want to make sure you know that. I don't want there to be any question in your mind. Some people think, oh, I better cover the bases. I better put in a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of the other, and then it all starts out. Well, you don't believe anything.
That's right.
See, your faith, of that kind of faith, can't save anybody.
That's right. Amen.
But if you trust that God has done His part, He has done what is necessary for you to be saved. He's given His Son to be crucified on a tree.
My Lord.
That Jesus died, shed His blood. He did it by His own will. Nobody forced Him. This was not an act of martyrdom or any of that. This was God the Son, who had complete control, complete power to do anything. This is God the Son, of whom it is said that in the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. That's the one we're talking about. That Jesus, the one who created everything.
Amen.
The one in Colossians 3:16, He said, "Let His word dwell in you richly."
Yes.
That one who spoke and the heavens leapt into existence and the earth.
My Lord.
And everything that's in them.
Yes.
He was in the beginning with God, it says, and all things were made by Him. He is the one who humbled Himself, took on the form of a servant.
Amen.
And came into the world to be crucified on the cross.
My Lord.
And He died to shed His blood because of the will of the Father.
Yes.
In order that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not Him in something else, or Him in anything else, but just Him.
My Lord.
If you're like that, where you trust Christ, you believe, you trust in the blood that He shed, the death that He died, the resurrection that He performed, because He got up out of the grave with all authority. If you trust Him, then this golden chain applies to you.
Amen.
That you have been predestined, called, justified, and glorified.
Yes.
And so you have the eternal blessing of God on your life if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says trusting in the Lord with all your heart. That means not part of it, but all. It's complete allegiance. Lean not to your own understanding, even if I don't quite get all of that. Nobody can say I understand it all. And if you do, but it'd be like, what? You know, where'd you come from? I don't know anybody who understands it all. But understand what God said. God said, I've given my son. You know what else? He configured the world around him, so it'd be hard for you to say you believe something else. Because if I thought there was any significance to anyone or anything else, I would have to ask, why is it 2014 years after Christ was born? Why isn't the world configured around some of these other things that say that they're God or have a way of salvation? The world isn't. God configured the world so you could trust his son.
That's right.
And know for sure that he has done what he promised.
Amen.
And so what we want to see here is Paul says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The answer is no one.
No one.
Rhetorical question.
That's right.
He that spared not. Notice this verse. This is where we got into the whole thing with Abraham. Yes. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. There was no cry coming from heaven about Christ when he was on the cross. In fact, just the opposite happened. Jesus was crucified. He cried out, my God! My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yeah.
No cry from heaven.
That's right.
Forsaken.
Yeah.
On the cross.
Yeah.
See? No, let's stop it and there's a ram over there.
Right.
No, let's try another way. No, their works will get them in. Yeah. None of that. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yes.
And there was silence from heaven.
Yes.
No angel crying out.
That's right.
To give you another way.
Thank you,
to spare your son.
Thank you, Jesus.
See that? And he took that. He took the weight of the wrath of God.
Yes,
upon himself.
My Lord.
Hung there between heaven and earth.
Thank you.
The whole earth was against him. Satan was against him.
Yes.
You know, his disciples loved him, but they were powerless.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't do anything. They ran and hid. Because their thought was, look out for you now, buddy. You better get out of here. Look what they're doing to him. Take cover, go hide. Most of them ran and hid.
Yes.
Except John, he was at the foot of the cross.
Yes, he was.
The rest of them went for cover, baby. I ain't coming around that.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get going now.
Yeah.
Done got hot up in here.
Yeah.
Got to go.
Yeah.
See, they wasn't going to stand there for that. They might get us next.
Mm-hmm.
They were scared for their lives.
Yes, they were.
And Mary, think about poor Mary standing there.
My Lord.
His mother, she knew he was God.
Yes.
Because she knew she had never touched a man when she was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit, when Christ was conceived in her womb.
Yes.
She knew it. If nobody else knew it, that mother knew it.
She knew it. Yes, she
you see, and she stood at the foot of the cross.
Yes.
Fulfilling the prophecy of Simeon that said, a sword will pierce through your very soul.
Yes.
That the hearts and the thoughts of many might be revealed because of him.
Yes.
And there she was with John, the only one there to stand by her.
Mm-hmm.
In her hour of trouble.
Yes.
And yet Jesus was there fulfilling the prophecy that God had said. His son was not spared, Paul says.
That's right.
But he delivered him up for us all. See that? How shall he not also with him also freely give us all things?
Yes.
If he gave us his son.
Yes.
If God gave you his son.
My
think
Lord.
Through that. That was his most prized possession.
Yes, it was.
Was my son, who I promised, who I allowed to be wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquity. The chastisement for your peace was upon him. With his stripes, he was beaten and flogged. Ye are healed, Isaiah had said. And he allowed it. He let it go through.
Yes, he did.
And Jesus hung there and took it. He took the full blast of God's wrath against your sin and mine. He hadn't done anything to offend God. But he was there dying, taking the punishment so that you and I could go free. Now, Paul sees this. Now, he didn't believe it at first, but he got so busy and the Holy Ghost told him to write down, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him? Now, speaking of what the Father did for you by way of the Son. He that spared not his own Son, that's talking about the Father.
Mm-hmm.
This was God's only Son.
That's right. Amen.
And he delivered him up. He allowed man, sinners, the devil, everybody to crucify his son.
Amen.
At the very spot where he had told Abraham, take your son.
Yeah.
your only son. Mount Moriah it was called in those days. I can show you that later on in the week. And at this time it was called Golgotha. The place of the skull.
That's right.
He says, if he gave his son, how shall he not also with his son freely give you all things? What is it for God to give you anything else? I gave you my son.
No comparison.
And you think you're going to come to him and say, God, I need peace. And he ain't going to give you peace. You think you're going to come to him and say, God, we need whatever. Name anything.
Without Jesus.
And he gave you a son. Already. It'd be like if I had $1 billion. I'm just going to use another mathematical thing. If I had $1 billion over here and I gave you a blank check that you could write anything you want. And then you go, well, you know what? I'd like would you give me a Mercedes? And I better not ask for that because, I gave you a blank check already.
Right.
You know, so what's with a Mercedes? That's easy.
Right.
You know, or if you say, well, I need a house over here or something. Well, what's with that? That's easy.
Mm-hmm.
I already gave you my checkbook.
Right.
Write what you want. That's the way it is. God is giving. See, that's a lame illustration.
Because
God gave us his son. So now what is it that we think he won't give you now? I gave you my son. Maybe our prayers are cheap.
All right.
Maybe we're not asking God for what we really want. You know, God, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And the world and they who dwell therein. What do we ask God for? Oh, I need 2 potato chips to make it to the end of the week, Lord. No. Don't ask God for 2 potato chips. You see what I'm saying? God can give you anything. It's not any problem. And that's not necessarily the purpose. He gave his son. I just want you to see the magnitude of what he already gave you.
Yes.
He gave you his son.
Amen.
And I'm not saying God wants us into materialism and all that. I'm sure he doesn't. But he does have us on a mission.
Yes, he does.
If he can equip us for the mission, why don't we ask for whatever we need?
Amen.
To get his will done.
Amen.
To get the gospel out into the ends of the earth.
Amen.
And see, won't he do it? He already gave us his son.
Yeah.
How shall he not also with him, it says here, freely give us all things.
Yeah.
See that? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?
Right.
Who can say now, okay, Adams, you know, I'm gonna accuse you of this or that or the other. You know, God already said Adams is free by the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
You trust in him, so, oh, I got a problem with something with you. No, your problem, it doesn't stack up because the Most High Judge already said, not guilty.
Amen.
Not guilty.
Amen.
He let me go. He said, I'm free.
Yes.
Imagine Barabbas if somebody came trying to tell him something. You know, and of course, they see, he said, what you want, Jesus or Barabbas? They said, give us Jesus. Give us Barabbas. Let him go.
Mm-hmm.
See, they let Barabbas go. I bet he ran out of there like he probably could have put him in the Olympics. The way he took off getting out of there. And he knew he was wrong as 2 left shoes.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
You see, but it was by God's grace that he got to go free.
That's right. Amen.
So he says here now, who shall lay anything? Can the devil come with his accusations and say, God, now look at what Brother Adams is doing. He over here doing this or that. Well, God already forgave him. God might say, get out of my face, devil. He's already forgiven.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not saying this excuses us to do anything wrong.
Amen.
We don't want to do that. That's the last thing I would want to do is make you think it's okay for you to do something wrong or evil.
Right.
It ought to be just the opposite. Since God invested so much in us
yes.
to make us holy, what are you going to invest?
Yes.
What's your investment in holiness? He showed you what I'm investing. I'm investing my son.
Yes.
So you can be holy and free from sin.
Amen.
So what
Amen.
Are you going to invest?
Right.
See?
Lord.
And God put his money where his mouth was, if you will. He gave you
yes.
his son. Now what is your investment in righteousness?
All right.
That's the question. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. See that? Mm-hmm. If Jesus don't condemn you, then who can?
No one.
Yea, rather that is risen again. The death didn't hold him down, so he was able to defeat death.
Yes.
Who is even at the right hand of God? Not only did he defeat death, but he's seated in the most exalted position there can be.
Yes.
In the heavens and the earth, at the right
My
hand
Lord.
Of God.
My Lord.
And not only that, but remember last time we studied that the Holy Spirit intercedes for you?
Yes.
Guess what this verse is?
Mm-hmm.
Who also maketh intercession.
Yes.
He's not just at the right hand sitting there.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit Spirit is offering up prayer on your behalf. Yes. The Son is saying, Father, I died for them.
That's right.
I covered them. I shed my blood for them.
Amen.
They are mine and they are yours.
Yes, we are.
He is making intercession. You have the Holy Ghost praying for you.
Yes.
You have the Son of God praying for you.
Yes.
So our prayers, which are probably pretty twisted, are straightened out pretty good by the time it gets to the Father. See what I'm saying? So you ought to understand that God, the Holy Ghost, is in you praying,
yes,
telling God stuff you don't know and you can't figure out and you haven't been able to think of what words to say.
Right.
He's telling it to the Son who was crucified for you and risen from the dead, who is seated at the right hand. He is an advocate from the Father, John said. That's like a lawyer.
Yes.
He is a mediator. He's straightening it all out. And then when it comes to the Father, everything is well. All is well.
Thank you.
See that?
Thank you.
And now notice this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
If Christ loves you that much, it's going to be kind of hard for somebody to separate you, isn't it?
That's right.
Shall tribulation?
No.
Or distress?
No.
Or persecution?
No.
Or famine?
No.
Or nakedness?
No.
Or peril?
No.
Or sword?
No.
And see, you all have answered every question. Those are radical, rhetorical questions. No, none of these things can separate you from the love of God. And do you know that the sword represents human government?
Yes.
In the Bible,
mm-hmm,
that's why it says in Romans 13 that the government beareth not the sword in vain.
Right.
See, so even sword can't separate you,
mm-hmm,
from the love of God. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in other words, no is the answer to all these questions. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Yes.
The love of Christ passes all understanding.
Yes, it does.
Then Paul says, I'm convinced or persuaded.
Yes.
Now he goes into another set of things here. The first thing on the list is death.
Yes.
Neither death nor life,
mm-hmm,
nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come,
yes,
nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature or any other created thing, some translations say, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See that? So God's love was displayed and executed in the flesh, so that whoever believes in him. So certain present victory is proclaimed totally to the praise of God's glory for everyone embracing Jesus the Messiah,
yes,
as Lord and Savior, and is to be enjoyed and shared as it is the Father's good pleasure to share this greatest of all news with the whole world, for the whole world to embrace. That's what privilege has been put on me and you.
Yes, it has.
To share this good news to the world. See, God doesn't want anyone to perish, the Bible says.
That's right.
You and I have been recruited into the army of God to share this good news,
amen,
to the world. So the equation of love over sin equals victory. God's love covered a multitude of sin.
Amen.
And it can be yours if you trust in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We want it to be yours. We hope that you will embrace the gospel, the good news that God loves you just like you are. You have never done anything for which
my Lord,
God will not forgive you.
Yes.
Amen.
We want to set out some chairs here for those who may be here today who have never accepted Christ to be your Savior. If you have not, we give you the opportunity.
My Lord.
Right now. Amen. It's the Father's good pleasure to accept you. We say, come as you are. No matter how you are, if you believe the good news, God has done this for you. As Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So we like to make sure people understand it. So that's why we take time and make the gospel clear.
Mm-hmm.
So that those who do not understand it, that's the last thing I would hate would be for you to come here and leave and say, well, I didn't understand what God did for me. That would mean I failed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I want you to know he loves you.
Oh, yes, he does.
And I try to make it as plain as possible so that you can receive the benefit of it as all of us who are here today have done. So if you're here today and you have not accepted Christ to be your Savior, we give you this opportunity. As I always like to say, we roll out the red carpet for you. Amen.
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 Come unto Jesus while you have time. Come unto Jesus
Commands, we see that there are none, but yet there is room. Now, is there anyone? We always like to make several invitations. One of them is, if you are saved, we know sometimes people are saved and they are looking for a church home. So if you're here today and you are saved, you've already come to understand and accept Christ as your Savior, and you would like to fellowship with us here, one thing I can say, we do promise that we will teach you. You will be a disciple. It's our good pleasure to teach you the things of God, teach you the Word, how to navigate the Bible, help you through prayer, and yes, whatever we can do as brothers and sisters in Christ to make it through your Christian life. And also, sometimes God sends us workers who come here motivated to do a particular thing for Him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So if you are here and you're already saved and you would like to come, we give you opportunity now to come and state your intention to be a member of the St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church, and we'd like to extend that welcome to you at this time. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Don't have to all rush in at once. Make sure you know you have plenty of time. Go ahead and
my Lord,
come if you like. Amen. Amen. We see that there are none, but yet there is room.
Amen.
So we thank God. We would hate for someone to leave and say we didn't give you the opportunity.
Yes.
To come with Christian experience or even as a candidate for baptism.
Amen. Amen.
All right. We have done as God commands, and we see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. Amen. So we thank the good Lord for letting us be here today, and we Amen. Pray that you did get a good word today.
Amen.
And that the Spirit of the Lord will continue to take you higher in Jesus Christ. And just as we go to the close, I was thinking about this. Think about how sometimes people do you in the world. This is a song somebody wrote a long time ago. It's a secular song, but it's just very interesting to think about how people do. This was the undisputed truth. This is probably before some of your times. They said, smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Can you dig it? Smiling faces, sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies, and I got proof. Interesting. Let me tell you, he said, the truth is in the eyes, but the eyes don't lie. Don't lie. Amen. They have nerve to have amen in here. Freak me out. Okay. And it says, remember, a smile is just a frown turned upside down, my friend. So I don't even have to tell y'all. Y'all know this, don't you? But I was just looking at that, how sometimes, you know, smiling faces, he says, goes on to say, they don't tell the truth. And he says, beware of the handshake, and he says, that hides the snake. And can you dig it, they say there. You know, I don't know if I can or not. He said, beware of a pat on the back. It might just hold you back. Jealousy, misery, envy. I tell you, you can't see behind the smiling faces that sometimes tell lies. They don't tell the truth. Interesting, isn't it? So, see, people know the problem, but the good thing about the church is we know the solution to the problem.
Amen.
Amen. All right, amen. If anybody would like further information about this Building Futures Workshop, if we can have any of our youth that are interested in it, I have the brochure here from them. And if they need transportation, we'll try to arrange for them to get there for that. And they have different age groups. They have it on different days for different ages. And if you need more details, we'll look that up afterwards. Amen. So having said that, let us stand to receive the benediction. And those of you who remember or are able, we are going to be fellowshipping with the New Prospect MB Church.
Yes.
I think that's 330, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Amen. That is located on I Street. I don't have the exact address. It's in my GPS. 1500 South I Street. Amen. East St. Louis, Illinois. Amen. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yes, let us do that. Let us acknowledge, before we receive the benediction, the visitors. We somewhat did that when Sister Samantha was there. But if you're here today and you happen to be visiting, we do want to give a special shout out to you. So we like to ask our visitors who are here for any amount of times you've been here to please stand. Amen. 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 We welcome you and thank God that you have taken time to come to St. Timothy. We know you could have gone anywhere and worshiped today, and we do hope you had a wonderful worship experience being here with us.
Yes.
And we invite you to return anytime.
Amen.
We have a very good midweek Bible study, and if you have any comments you'd like to make, any of you, you may do it at this time.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, wonderful. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm here with my brother, and I'll be back with that.
All right, Brother Jameson, he pops in and out there, but we're always blessed to see him be here. Hey, man, we thank God for each of you, and we do. Sometimes, you know how I get on a roll sometimes, and my mind may not all be there sometimes. Well, I was not overlooking y'all. We love you and are so blessed that you have come, and we thank you and we pray you'll be back again and again. Amen. All righty, now let us stand for the benediction. Amen. Y'all pardon me, charge it to my head, not to my heart. Amen. All right, because sometimes as a pastor, you have to wear a number of hats. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you that you have given us that status of no condemnation.
Yes.
And Father, by the fact that no one came to the altar, that means all of us have accepted Jesus Christ and are saved, oh God.
Yes.
And so we thank you for that salvation that you have offered through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we just give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory.
Yes.
Bless all of our visitors in a special way, God,
please,
that they might be just filled and blessed,
please,
all through,
Lord,
this week. And Father, we ask a great blessing on the choir, that they might sing praises to the heights of heaven, Lord, that you might be exalted when we go out. And Lord, go before us, prepare the way. We bless you and we give you praise. We thank you now, God, for all that you have done today in this service, Lord, because we know each one of them is used to mold and shape us into the men and women you would have us to be in Jesus Christ. So bless us as we go down from this place, as we travel to our various destinations. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be accepted in your sight, for you are our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer. We ask it in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory, majesty, dominion, and power now and forevermore. And the whole church say it together. Amen. Amen. Amen.